Perek Dalid, we're up to Mishnah, the middle of Mishnah Chav Beis. We have a report from the homework department that Rav Elazar Kapar is Kapar is the name of a place. We weren't sure, and that perhaps Bar Kapara was his son, the son of Kapara. Okay. Shkach. V'likim asa shiyaru milafanav. That's what we're up to. It continues on what we learned last time. He says, Darshu, this is going on the Mishnah, Rav Elazar Kapar's second Mishnah, which spoke somewhat poetically about the fact that the ultimate test of life is the din los et lavai, which he expressed in very poetic terms. V'alikim asa shiyarim lefanav, the pasuk in Koheles, said God has created a world in which the purpose is yirah shemayim. Darshu chazal, elu hara'imim, shenivru lipshedak mimishem alayv. The Gemara Bracha says, this is a reference to thunder, which is created to frighten people. How does that fit into the pasuk? Pasuk says God created so that we should fear Him. But if you're afraid of thunder, what does that have to do with fearing God? The kavana is the idea we said the other day. Somebody has Yirah Shamayim will not have fear of other things. He feels that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Ashkacha Pratis over him, and he won't have fear of other things. That's why Rabbi Elazar Kapar said that the whole purpose that we're in this world to be judged is Leida, to come to the recognition of Yiras Hashem. Not punishments enough in the Nekama, the punishments are to recognize their Rabbeinu Shalom. I'm not sure exactly when people are afraid of thunder, it's a rational fear? What's rational about the fear of thunder? It doesn't make any sense.
People get hit by lightning.
That's what people are afraid of with thunder? I get afraid of hitting it. They're in the house. They're in the house, the windows, what?
The thunder's after the fact. Lightning already struck.
So lightning already struck.
It's the time when lightning comes down.
Is that why people are afraid of thunder? You're a logical person, so you feel that way. But people are under the covers at night. They're also afraid of thunder. It's frightening. I don't know if it's... No, you don't think so?
No reason to be afraid if it's just a noise.
You're very logical. Michael, why are you afraid of thunder? Huh? You're really afraid of lightning? You're logical? What?
The wrath of God. It's thundering. It's
the wrath of God. So what, it's logical or it's not logical? Herbie tried to call in a couple times.
It's not logical if something happens.
Hi Herbie, I'm sorry I missed your call. You're welcome to join at this moment. Okay. I don't know. I don't think it's logical, but alright. Rechaim Volozhin is saying that people are afraid of thunder, that the purpose of the fear of thunder is that people should say, Hashem creates, controls the world, so, if I get hit by lightning, it's up to him. But okay. He goes on, Aklalu, ki Hashem Yisbarach, ene noikim kamei basav adam, ra ka'av es ben yeratza. God punishes like a father punishes, not like, somebody who takes out vengeance on others. Like a father who feels bad when his son is in pain, and he still punishes him to get him to behave properly. It says in Eicha, Re'ei Hashem v'habita, Hashem look and examine, ki hayisi zaylela. I am zaylela, like, Ben Sarah Meir is a zaylela v'seveh, is a rebellious child. Ratzalaymer. So he's explaining now pshat and echa. Ratzalaymer, k'may din zaylela v'seveh, ashen in eirak b'ben, shu nasa ben. The din of Ben Sarah Meir is only by a son, shu nasa ben, Sarah Meir. Aval imagali yasim, somebody who raises a yasim in his house, not his child. Avshu sayra meir, makama kemeni hargai. The whole din of ben sayra meir is only a child. L'chein omar, lo yalechem kol oivei derech, habitu ruum yesh machayv kemachayvi. So poshim shat, when we read Eicha, lo yalechem kol oivei derech is an expression of pain. Like you say, oh, I have such sorrows, lo yalechem. So he says, what does it mean, loya lechem kol ayvei derech? Avsha cherub gamkin avru ayra kamayni. L'chatu, even though there are other people who did the same avarus as Klal Yisrael, mekamakim leinen shuazer kamayni, v'layhuku kamach ayvei. Klal Yisrael says, Hashem doesn't punish others like he punishes me. Ki anichi yaisi zei lei lo ratzalayim kibem. V'loy osa kein l'she'ein ebenai. The punishment to a son is only for the purpose of making it better. Not someone who's not a son. L'chein amar. Nishaked.
Niskad.
I'm sorry. Niskad.
Oil Pishoi.
Oil Pishoi.
Pishoi,
okay. Niskad oil Pishoi. And he explains what it means. K'moy shomer chazal. V'yishkaid. Is that v'yishkaid with a shin?
That's the
Yishkeid Hashem al Ara. God hesitated with the Ra. He tzaddik, Mishum Ditzad. He hurried with the Ra. We said, well, the Gemara there says that there's a misprav in Aishantem. There's a certain number of years, 852 years, that there's an idea. Let me preface it. There's an idea of Nismali Sa'asan. Nismali Sa'asan is an idea that there are times where a person misbehaves so badly that the boss, so to speak, gets fed up. Yeah, let's say somebody has a worker, and the worker misbehaves. He mismanages whatever he's supposed to do. So at a certain point, we're willing to take him and train him and teach him to do it well the next time. There's a certain point where a person says, "Ad kad, you know, now I got to fire him. He's out of here because he became so bad." So the misbar of the Shantem, the idea of a misbar of 852 years, is an idea of a certain level after which God says, "I'm fed up. Let's just forget the whole deal." So it said the Gemara says that for Yishkeid Hashem al Ara, Hashem hurried the punishment to Klal Yisrael. The Golus was less than 852 years; it was 850 years after they entered Eretz Yisrael, so to speak. To say that Kadosh Baruch Hu brought rebuke on Klal Yisrael earlier, before it was Nismali Sa'asan, before it was sort of fed up and all over with, so that Klal Yisrael could still straighten out its ways. Let's read it inside. V'yishkeid Hashem al Ara, ki tzadik, mishum de tzadik, Hashem rushed to punish because he's a tzadik. Ela, tzedakos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael, shingdom shtei shanam levin noishantem. Kamayim ha-chazal, gabi b'tzari ravayra, mutav shiyom ha-zakai, v'yom ha-zchayiv. So this is the idea that he's saying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu by Klal Yisrael brings the punishment like a father to a son for the purpose of rectification, of Klal Yisrael repairing its ways. And v'sipur oid ha-mekai name p'loi chasadav, and in Eicha it goes on, paras reshes l'raglai ha-shiveni achar. Interesting expression, it's a pasuk. It says, Hashem spread out a trap in my way so that I should step back. Now usually you spread out a trap, so someone should step into the trap. It says, God spread out a trap, so I should step back. Ratzalaymer, she'eshbar mimenu va'oshim b'tshuva l'chayyisenu ki'emezeh. V'zashomer ha'chayim lidan k'dei leida. The idea is that Hashem spreads the trap so that people shouldn't fall into the trap. And that spreads the trap so people should be trapped. The idea is that a person should avoid it and therefore not come into punishment. So this is the idea we had yesterday, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's punishments are so that a person should repair his ways and not as a straight out retribution. In parentheses he adds, Ayomer hayilodim lomus, al derech mayim hachazal, ma yavin inish v'yichye yomis esatzmai. This is a totally different idea. It's a second pshat. Hayilodim lomus. Posh pshat is that people are born to die, and people die to come alive again. To say that that's the purpose of the whole deal down here. Here's a different pshat. He says, Hayilodim lomus. We're created in this world lomus, so to speak, to die. It doesn't mean to die here. It means yomis esatzmai, that a person has certain things that he feels will give him joy in life. And a person who's able to restrain himself to, so to speak, kill the natural inclination to pursue things that are vain and things that are that have no real purpose at the expense of doing good things. So such a person is called Hayiloidim Lomos. born to be mamis his natural desires. I saw this beautiful verse from Rav Schwab related to this week's parasha. It strikes you with the way he says it. He says the Mishkan was made out of gold, silver, and copper, and tcheles, argama, telashani, very beautiful things. When the Mishkan was complete, and a person would come to see it, what would a person see? What would you see when you come to visit the Mishkan? So he makes the point, if you went to visit the Mishkan, you're not a kohen, you're not going to see the menorah, you're not going to see the gold and silver, what are you going to see? The building from the outside. Now, if you read Rashi carefully, after the building was completed, the crushim were magnificent. 10 amah beams, capped by a golden ring, really beautiful, but it was all covered with a spread of urias from above. Now, the first one had some beauty to it. It was made out of tcheles and argaman and shani. It was made out of beautiful material. But that itself was again covered. It was covered by a second layer, which was made out of goat's hair. So Schwab writes, if you would look at the Mishkan, all you would see is a box covered with a blanket made out of black goat's hair. How he knows it's black, I'm not sure. I guess.
Iris Eilim Adam?
Right. He said the way he expresses it, we have to look. No, Iris Eilim Adam is the top thing above it. No. This is the goat hair cover, and that covered the walls. There was a third covering which covered only the ceiling, not the sides, which was made, like you say, half of Iris Eilim Adam and half of something else.
Yeah.
But the beauty was not there. What is the point? The point is, he says, "Hatzni leches em Hashem alakecha." When Micha, the Navi, talks about tznius, talks about being a tznua with God. Where is God tznua? What way does God practice tznius? The way we normally think of tznius, we don't see it in God because we don't see God. So he says it's a reference to the Mishkan. A reference to the Mishkan, which had all the beauty deserving of a Beis Hashem, and the elegance, but it didn't show itself off to the world. To the outside world, it was Bederach Tzenua, it was an Etzniyistik Ha'ayfin. So, Hatzdei Leches Im Hashem Alekecha. The idea that comes to mind, Hayaladim Lamus, the idea of a person suppressing his inclination, which is to show off what he has, and to be a Tzenua, to be private in his excesses, I guess. Rashi says that the area that covered the Mishkan was over the doorway a little bit. There was a slight overhang. Rashi says, to remind one of a kala tsanua who covers a face with a veil. This is the idea that the Mishkan is a picture of tznius, of privacy, of the beauty. The Beis Hashem deserves to be made out of gold and silver and all the beautiful things. But that's within. That's not shown off to the outside. So this is an example, I guess, of this idea. He adds, "V'hameisim lahachiyos hameisim ratzolay v'hameimis is atzma yichya." A person whose maimis, his inclination, will live. Zeshamer lachayos v'achayim hamachayos atzma lidain. That doesn't say the next part of the Mishnah. Chayim lidain. Someone who's not mamis asatzmai, who's mechayas atzmai, is also litein asadin v'chepirush hamedrashmul. So that our desire in this world, our desires are subjugated to the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And to that degree, let's say chukas, zeis, tairas, zeis chukas ha-taira, adam kiyamus. Slice chukas ha-taira. This is the rules of the Torah. Adam kiyamos. A person has to be willing to so to speak, kill his inclinations and subjugate them to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's instruction. The next part of the Mishnah: Hu ha-yaitzei, hu ha-bayrei. Okay, here he gets into an idea of the four ilamais. I don't know how familiar you are with it. Yeshiva, we barely hear about it. The idea, chassidish writings, it's much more prevalent. The idea that there are four worlds, the Olam HaAtzilus, the Olam Yetzira, Bria, and Asiya. So I'll try to explain the, you know, the simple pshat of what he's referring to. The world is created on four levels. Now the three levels we understand are Bria, Yetzira, and Asiya. And that means the following, the way DeGro explains it. Creation of anything, but we use the model of Maaseh Bereishis, Bria, Yetzira, Asiya is the following. Bria is to create, Yetzira is to create, Asiya is to make or to create. What do they mean? Three levels. Bria is Yesh Me'ayin. Bria is that HaKadosh Baruch created substance. He made that things exist. The whole idea that things exist is Bria. Creating the original creation of Yesh Me'ayin, of something from nothing. So the idea that existence at all is Bria. And then you have Yetzira and Asiya. Yetzira is the, let's take an example, wood. So Kadosh Baruch Hu created trees. Trees exist. And then the trees themselves can be cut into planks, into boards. So that's the example of Yetzira. They give it a specific form. Then Asiya is where you take those planks and you make them into a table. You make them into a chair. You make them into a bookcase. Now, the difference between Yetzira and Asiya, Yetzira, you make a plank, you can't make it back into a tree. Yetzira is an irreversible change. When you take the boards and you knock in some nails and make a bookcase, that can be changed back to boards. You can undo it. So that Bria is to create something from nothingness. Yetzira is to change its form in an irreversible way. And Asiya is to make something out of it in a reversible way. So those are, we say, Hashem created the world, Bria, Yetzira, and Asiya. Now, Atzilus is a Kabbalistic form of creation, because I just explained just about everything. You want to know how to make a tree, all you got to do, make a bookcase, you can get a tree, make the planks, and make the boards. Atzilus is something, like he says, Dakba, in a very fine point beforehand, let's call it that the concept is created. It means there's nothing there, but the idea, when there's nothing, and God creates the concept of a bookcase. Like a person is laying in bed, and he says, you know, let me make a bookcase. He has no trees, no planks, and no bookcase, but he starts with the thought of it. That's sort of the Olam HaAtzilus. Okay, so those are the four Olamos, so to speak. Those who have the Siddurim that have, I don't know which Siddurim have it, but they have these Kabbalistic notations, have the four parts of davening, Karbanos, and Pesukei Dezimra, and Berachos Kriyas Shema, and Shemayne Esrei, as a sort of reverse order of these things. That somehow we travel back in time to creation by going through the Olam HaAsiya, Olam HaYetzira, Olam HaBriya, Olam HaAtzilus. So Shemayne Esrei brings us back to the highest level of sort of preparation in this world. And we talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we get to Shemayne Esrei in the most primary state of anything happening, so that anything is possible. In other words, if you're working with somebody who has planks, he's making a bookcase, not anything is possible. You're limited by the planks. If you talk to someone who has a tree and he's cutting the wood, then more is possible, because then he can make it into different things. If you go back to all about Atzilus, which Shemayne Esrei is compared to, then anything is possible. You're going back to the conceptual design. When you go to an architect and you create whatever you want to create, you're less limited. In Shemayne Esrei, you're less limited. You talk to God, it's all about Atzilus, and the other where sort of anything can happen, so to speak. Okay, that's the idea to which he's referring to here briefly. Let's see what he says. We say God is Hayyotze Hu Abayre. L'chayra Yitzarach Leibah Behepach. It's out of order. K'sei Derei Lamais. Atzilus Bria Yetzira Asira. So Bria comes before Yetzira. How you doing? As is known. Avalayin Hu Ki Atzilus Hu Adayin Dakba Ayin Veinei Mufrid. The concept of Atzilus Eidei Mufrid. It's not separated. It's still in its original state. V'loi tipa lasha bria rak al yesh be'ayin. And the word bria is when there's already substance, making substance from nothing. V'loshin atzilah hukumai v'atzalti min aruach. The lashon of atzilus is, as the example, v'atzalti min aruach. God says, I will take from the spirit of Moshe and share it with the 70 zakenim. V'akach dasi yesh be'ayin v'hu bria. So there's the concept. The yesh be'ayin is bria, akach yesh be'yesh, hu yitzira, making something from something, which is yitzira. V'kad omer avshu hayotzer yesh be'yesh. Although God creates yesh be'yesh, v'kalmokim hu mechadish b'choyem tamid yesh be'ayin, aydesh kachasi yisbar shumay afachar abria. Even after all, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is constantly creating yesh be'ayin, not a new yesh be'ayin, ki im haya kerega meisir ashka chasei chasei shalom yidasa kol loy lomis kerega la'ayin ve'efes v'akav b'ayre b'chol yoyim yesh be'ayin v'uva b'ayre. This is an idea which is that the world exists constantly. We assume, and our experience tells us, that if this sefer was here a minute ago, it'll be here a minute from now, because things continue to exist. So we can understand that God created things. He said, okay, we'll let things be the way they are, unless there's a reason to change it. He's saying is that no. Every instant God gives meaning to creation. Creation is nischadesh every moment. And it's a very hard concept. There is a Maharal in the Sivas Ayalam who says something which I'll explain in contemporary terms. He says God gives life to everything. Now we know if a human being wasn't alive, he would be a human being. But a piece of wood we think of as being a piece of wood. The truth is we know today, science knows or physics understands, that really all of matter is made up of living movement. Really, the mass of the whole world is very minute. And really, all of matter is made up of constant movement. Now, science doesn't understand the movement. It's one of the four powers of nature that science doesn't begin to understand. What makes all this movement take place? All this energy that's in matter, what makes it take place? But the fact is that this solid piece of wood is not as solid as it seems. The fact is that this solid piece of wood feels like a solid piece of wood because there's movement in the tiny particles that keep it feeling that way. So the idea that Hashem gives life to all of creation is this, the power of existence to all of creation is mechadish b'chol yom tov b'asiv v'reishis. We say HaKadosh Baruch Hu is constantly giving life to everything that exists. We think of it as living creatures, but it's really every bit of matter. And okay, I've got a little bit overboard, but he's saying that time-wise. But that's hu ayaytze hu abayre. That's the idea that even though we see creation as an order, we go through a seder, we have a bookcase, it's done. He's saying is that really HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives constantly kastachias to the bria. Okay, so we'll leave it with that, and we'll finish the Mishnah, God willing, next time.